It's always a joy to stand up here and watch you guys fellowship together. It's just a sweet testimony of what Christ is doing in so many lives in this church, and I'm honored just to witness a little bit of it. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dustin Hughes, and I have the privilege this morning of reading our scriptures for today's message. Today, our message comes from Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Colossians 2, 8. If you don't have a Bible, you're free to use the one in the row in front of you. There should be a couple there, and the scripture, and you're free to take that as a gift. If you don't own a Bible, take that with you, and you can use that. But the scriptures are found on pages 1006 and 1044, respectfully. Hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The Apostle Paul continues this theme in Colossians 2:8. Giving us this vital warning. It reads, "Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, this morning, we just stand in awe of your mercy. We thank you for the privilege of gathering in your name to hear your voice through scripture. We want to take another moment just to pray for our team in Thailand. Lord, we're grateful for their willing heart to take your gospel to the ends of the earth. I pray for their protection and their strength. Lord, we also pray for our brother and sister, Bruce and Dovey, as they train medical professionals and equip them with your gospel to take it out to their villages. Lord, just be with them and give them strength and protection as well. Lord, we ask that you would help us as a congregation, keep us from being taken captive by the hollow ideas and traditions of this world. This morning, we surrender our minds to you right now. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would break the patterns of this age that have taken hold of us, and by your Spirit, renew our thinking. Open our ears to hear what you're saying to us today, so that we may leave here better equipped to walk in your perfect will. We also pray for our brother George right now as he just comes to share you the message that you've laid on his heart. We ask for supernatural clarity, that he would be able to speak clearly, for a message that comes from your Spirit. Strengthen him right now, Jesus. Let the seed of your word find good soil in us today, producing a harvest of righteousness for your glory. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dustin. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church? Raise your hand. Wow, that's more than I thought. But the truth is, I get it. Man, I've had the bobs before, you know, boom, boom, and then you break your neck, and you're wondering who saw me, but you don't dare look around. But so out the sides of your eyes, you're looking. But so what we've done is our tech team has taken some pictures of you guys falling asleep. And there's a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch. So watch really, really fast as we show them, because I want to make sure you can see you. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We would never, ever do that to you here. Ever. Speaking of sleeping, my dad could sleep anywhere. And I'm telling you what, no matter what, he could fall asleep. And I'll never forget, I was probably fourth or fifth grade, and my dad was in the living room. It was a Saturday night, I remember, and typically we would watch Lawrence Welk on Saturday night. And to be honest with you, yeah, I see some heads nodding. I think people my age should be compensated for having to watch Lawrence Welk. The truth of the matter is. But the phone rings. So he's out. He's completely out sleeping, and I can still hear his voice. So the phone rang. He said, he woke up and was all kind of startled, and he says, "George, go get the phone." Well, back then, you didn't have your little phone you could flip open. You had to walk to the other room. But I did something I probably shouldn't have done. I said, "Dad, you go get the phone." I didn't know he could move so fast out of that chair. But speaking of Lawrence Welk, I don't know about you, but right after Lawrence Welk, I believe it was My Three Sons came on. And I was the third son. You need to know that a little bit. But it was my turn for the bath after when My Three Sons was over. And I don't know about you, but when I was a little guy, on Saturday night, we had to get our little suit out, had to have the VO5 there so you could do the little fish thing on my hair. It was just crazy. But we had to have everything polished. So anyway, it was my turn for the bath Saturday night. And I was the third one to go. And I'm going, I'm not sure I always got clean water. And the other thing is, this is kind of weird, but I'm not sure it was too hot either. And it was kind of lukewarm. And you can make out of that what you want. But anyway. But a lot of things have progressed since then. And it seems like things are going so much faster and faster, and we've become more busy. I mean, think about just even our cell phones. You can seriously put an app on your phone called Block that will make your phone ignore certain apps so you can keep your concentration on things that you should be doing. We are so connected to our cell phones. I know when the cell service goes out, panic sets in for me. I'm going, how am I going to touch base with my kids? What am I going to do? Have you ever lost your cell phone? You panic. In fact, I panic more than when I lost my kid at the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta. But back then, I had two kids. But anyway. But seriously, I can relate to the story of the parable of the lost coin and how they looked everywhere. And I look everywhere until I find that phone. The truth is, I believe that even though things have changed for the better, there are a lot of things that have changed that have not been good for us. We've become so busy trying to keep up with the new things of technology or whatever. And here's the truth. None of that busyness has made me more joyful or more peaceful or more Christ-like. It just makes me tired. And somewhere along the way, being busy started to feel like we were being faithful to busyness. And slowing down started to feel like failing. And then busy moves us into a place of expectations. My observation is that outgoing bouts of keeping busy is what leads so many of us to feeling overwhelmed. And sometimes we are being overwhelmed by choices, or overwhelmed by shame, or maybe being overwhelmed by the sadness of our world. There are a lot of things that may cause us to feel overwhelmed, but today we're going to talk about being overwhelmed by expectations. Now, not all expectations are overwhelming. Some expectations are what I would call passive expectations. They're there, but you really don't feel them. Like when you guys come to church, the passive expectation is that you'd be able to find a parking spot within 3 blocks of here. Or our staff has a passive expectation of when you drop your kids off at Grace, the education hour, the passive expectation is that you would come and pick them up. like today. These are passive expectations, meaning that they are just looming and they're out there. They are real, but let's be honest, they are not overwhelming you. But your life, it's much more complex than passive expectations. There are also active expectations that you feel just by living in a fast-paced culture. There are the expectations to look a certain way, to drive a certain car, to have a reputable job, the expectation to live in a decent neighborhood, to have good relationships, the expectation to have a good education or to maintain a perfect social media presence, or to be constantly productive, or the expectation to stay youthful and fit, the expectation to have the perfect marriage or relationship, to have financial success or security, to balance work and life effortlessly, to be highly cultured or well-traveled, the expectation to have a clear life plan of where you're going and to be constantly connected and accessible at all times. You know, I'm kind of exhausted just thinking about these things. In church family, these are cultural ideas. As expectations, they lead to an overwhelming pressure to just keep up, which is ultimately an invitation to stress and busyness, which lead to feelings of inadequacy and shame when we don't meet those expectations. Then, in addition to these active cultural expectations, most of us place unique expectations on ourselves in the form of what I would call inner dialogue or self-talk. You don't hear it, but I hear it because I'm saying it inside right now. If I'm being totally honest, I feel a little bit overwhelmed up here with the expectation not to disappoint you. Really, I mean expectations not to bomb as I teach you people the Bible. Expectations to have a fresh message from God's Word that leaves you challenged and yet hopeful. Expectations not to add guilt of the spiritual expectations you may already feel burdened under. Expectations to be mindful that some of you who are here or watching the live stream, you may not be a believer in Jesus and you are just checking things out. And I don't want to ruin that. And what if this is your first experience with Grace Church and you're hearing from me, not even from our lead pastor, Matthew? You see, creating a message that speaks to everyone, it can really be overwhelming. So expectations, whether they are passive, active, cultural, internal, they are everywhere and they're constantly raining down on us, leaving us overwhelmed. And here's what I know to be true about me, and that is probably true of you, is that expectations are fueling my pace of life. Like keep me racing through life while taking away my peace. And I'm just curious, can you relate to at least occasionally feeling overwhelmed? And this is where it gets ugly, at least in my life, is that when my pace increases, my peace decreases. And there's consequences. I know that for me, when I'm anxious and I'm more susceptible to sin. And my relationships, they take a hit. Like, I mean, just above basic level stuff. And when I'm overwhelmed, a lot of little things, they just throw me off. You see, when pace increases, it also is displayed in some crazy ways. First, I lack personal insight because I don't take the time to think about the important things of my life. So I'm reduced to these unchecked motives and untested decisions. This one really bothers me, but my relationships get more superficial because relational depth requires time, and busy people don't have time. And these two things, they work together to increase my feeling of isolation, which actually leads to my spiritual life, and it suffers because I'm not spending as much time with God. And I could go on and on. I'm not sure how being overwhelmed by expectation manifests itself in you, but let me just give you one question to consider. Like right in the middle of when you're feeling overwhelmed. So here's the question. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in all of this? is Jesus adding to the pressure for you to chase after having the perfect job or the perfect family? Is Jesus pushing you to do more in your life so that you can buy a nicer house? Is Jesus asking you to look a certain way and wear clothes that you can't afford to impress people you don't really even know? What if Jesus is trying to get your attention to actually woo you away from that super busy lifestyle? You know, I know that I'm personally dealing with this message myself, and it seems like every time I prepare a message, it seems like I'm convicted about the very thing I'm speaking about. And as I was preparing this, I wondered how many of you deal with some of the same things. Or maybe you are longing for something different, something deeper, something more life-giving. And if you are, the good news is that the scripture that we're going to look at today, you're going to find hope and you're going to find help. You see, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." There's a word in there that I haven't written in my script, but there's a word in there called urge. I urge you, therefore, brethren. It's more than just asking. Think about that word urge. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the highway, boy, I better not go off because I get some pretty crazy thoughts here. But you're going down the highway and you have to go to the bathroom. Is that an urge? You're looking for the next exit, right? I gotta have this. What Paul is saying is more than just asking. It's this, I want you to hear this. But these are a great couple of verses, and we're going to unpack them to see how they are helpful for you today and to see when Paul says, in view of the mercies of God, he is actually urging God's people to remember God's incredible mercy. You see, in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, they are so theologically thick. I mean, he's just described God's mercy and his forgiveness, his amazing grace, his unfailing love. And Paul is saying, when you remember God's mercy, the response should be to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, this is the same Paul in the first chapter of Philippians who says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, when Saul became Paul, everything about his life was about Christ. Everything. He lived for Christ. In this idea of a living sacrifice, it would have been a total crazy idea to his audience because they would have thought a living sacrifice in Paul's culture, as well as the long history of the Jewish people going all the way back to Moses' animal sacrifices, they were common, but the end result of an animal sacrifice would be death sacrifices. People would perform animal sacrifices as both a form of worship, but also to atone for their sin. But here is what Paul does. He flips the script. He flips the script from a dead sacrifice to a living one. He is saying, instead of a dead animal on the altar, I want you to put a living body there, yours. Like you offer your life to God, you sacrifice your way for God's way. You sacrifice your agenda for God's agenda. You sacrifice your way for God's way. Your values for God's values. You see, a living sacrifice puts their thoughts, their decisions, their actions, I mean everything on the altar and give it to God. It is saying this: I give you everything, all that I am, I belong to you. That I don't belong to the values and the expectations of this world. I belong to you. And when you do this, look at what Scripture says. It says the result is it's holy and pleasing to God. It's holy and pleasing to God. I love this. It's you are not burdened trying to please others by following the world's expectation. No, a living sacrifice is pleasing your heavenly Father. And Paul describes this as true worship, meaning it's the logical response to God's mercy. The logical response is to offer yourself, saying, because of who you are, God, the most logical type of worship is me saying, here I am. You get all of me as a living sacrifice. I love the way the Living Bible paraphrase says this. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? When I read that the first time, it really shook me. Because when I began to think about what Jesus had done for me, is it too much to ask for me to be a living sacrifice for our Lord Jesus Christ? Then it goes on to tell us how to do this. The instruction in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed do not conform to the pattern of this world. I've memorized it out of a few different versions, and sometimes it gets confusing. But it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But regardless of the translation, if you want to please God, don't conform to the world's playbook. Why? Why shouldn't I conform? Because the world's expectations are a total moving target. And if you ever meet those expectations, you'll soon discover that they don't fully satisfy or lead to peace. I believe there's people right here in this congregation that could say the same thing. They'd say, I know I chased after the expectation. I even conquered them. Yet it wasn't what I was longing for. There's this crazy, crazy thing in the New York Post. I thought it was crazy funny. It said, hot people complain about the horrible experience of being good looking. And then it goes on to say, what a pity to be pretty. But think about this for a second. They fulfilled the cultural expectation of good looks, and now they feel so bad that it's a burden. Now, personally, I've never had to bear the burden of beauty, but I have chased after the expectation of recognition. Why are you guys laughing? Just kidding. It takes my whole life to be like this. Why would I mess it up now, right? But I have chased after the expectation of recognition, and sometimes I get recognition, and it was nice for a day or two, and then it's off to chase some more recognition because it doesn't ultimately satisfy. When I'm chasing to conform to the wrong target. And Paul says, hey, there's a better alternative to conforming to the expectations of the world. And then he says, but be transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The New Testament Greek word for transformed is metamorphosis. You guys remember biology class? Like the poster child for metamorphosis is the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It is a total transformation from one form to another completely different form. So to be transformed from being a man of the world to becoming a man of God. To be transformed from a woman of the world to being a woman of God. And it's really important to understand that it's not about trying harder or behavior modification. It's about a radical internal change by the Holy Spirit. You will be changed from the inside out. It's a total shift where you align with God's values rather than the world's values. And how do you do this? Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. That's kind of clear, but how do I renew my mind? Well, instead of filling your mind with the world's expectations, you fill your mind with God's word. We talk about this all the time here. And when you do, you will quickly see that the world's expectations, they are not God's expectations. Like the list I said towards the beginning of this message. These don't come from God's word. Colossians 2:8 says, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on the human tradition, based on the elements of this world rather than on Christ. There's another translation that says, see to it that no one takes you captive. I don't know about you, but when my mom, when I was young, would say, see to it that your room was clean by the time I got home. Whose responsibility was that? It was mine, wasn't it? So this is not something to take easily. Be careful. I think that's kind of soft. See to it that no one takes you captive. So be in the journey of renewing your mind by being a living sacrifice, because a living sacrifice will get your worldview from God's word and not the world. And then when our minds are renewed and our lives are transformed, I love this, that we get a bonus. Listen to what this says. It says that we may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Yes, I think one of our challenges is that we want to know what God's will is, but we're not willing to do the work that it takes to get there. That we need to be a living sacrifice. That we need to fill our minds with God's word. And then we'll be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Who wouldn't want to know the will of God for their life? So what I'm asking of you today is to trade your busyness of going after the world and trade it in for the renewing of your mind. And when you do, here's what you're going to discover. That God's expectations, they don't come with a heavy burden. They actually come with a blessing. God's expectations don't come with a burden. They come with a blessing. A better life than you could have ever imagined. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. He didn't say that I came that you might be overwhelmed with expectations of others, or I came that you might be hurried and busy and stressed. Jesus obviously understood how our fallen, sinful nature would lead us to chase after these worldly expectations. And he knew it would lead us to go in circles, and we'd get weary of this race. That is why he said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I know what some of you guys are thinking right now. Wait a minute. Take my yoke upon you. I don't even like eggs. No. Sorry, I had to wake you up. But what Jesus is talking about here is a call to follow Jesus, to be connected to him, to be his disciple, a living sacrifice. To yoke yourself to Jesus is to join him. You see, a yoke was a common reference for a wooden frame that would fit over the shoulders of animals, and it would fit over two, and they would harness them together. And it would make them work together and rely on one another and then share the burden as they walked side by side. That is the picture that Jesus is saying. Hey, be yoked to me and my yoke is easy. The expectations that you're chasing and the burdens that you have that are overwhelming you, that's not my way. Connect to me and see my rhythm and my way of life and watch how my values change things for you. You were created to be yoked with Jesus. I love this verse because it shows that Jesus knows us, that we are busy and tired and worn out. It says Jesus invites us. When he says, come to me, he promises that he will give us rest. He offers me something. Take my yoke, and he instructs me that he will teach and comfort me. He says he is gentle and humble, and he assures me that his yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at this promise. It's an invitation to a partnership with Jesus. It is so appealing, but it is so different than what the world promises. I would like to say it like this. The world's expectations don't align with the promised abundant life and rest for your souls, so that the lives that we ultimately want, the lives that we long for, where we have a sense of peace, a depth of community and relationships, or a meaningful purpose for our lives, those won't be attained by changing and embracing the world's expectation. Worship team, if you'd come up at this time. You see, there's this famous sportscaster that went public with his resignation from ESPN. He was the very best at what he did. Like, if you wanted to hear any breaking news within the NBA, he was the man and would break the news first. But there were two sentences that, as I read them, I thought this summarizes my message. He said, "I understand the commitment required in my role, and it's an investment that I'm no longer driven to make. Time isn't in endless supply, and I want to spend mine in ways that are more personally meaningful." You see, I don't know this man, and I don't even know if he has a faith or not. I just know his fame. And it's been reported that that decision that he made, he was walking away from $20 million. Who does that when we live in a world where money is one of the primary expectations? It would take a tremendous amount of conviction to make that kind of decision. So what about you? Where's your conviction? Are you ready for a big life decision? I mean, like, what if today you resign from being seduced by the expectations of this world? What if you heard the clear, calm voice of Jesus, almost a whisper saying, "Child, my child, I'm so sorry you've been overwhelmed by the expectations of this world. Those expectations are not my values and lead to heavy burdens. I don't want you to live like that, so stay close to me and you will see that my burden is light, and it will lead you to a life, actually a better life, than you've ever imagined. And I'm telling you these things so that you might have peace, because in this world you will have troubles. It will feel overwhelming at times, but take heart. I have overcome this world." Church family, this is the message for you today. Jesus has overcome this world, so you don't need to live overwhelmed. That if you're going to live overwhelmed, be overwhelmed by Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that there are expectations that the world has brought upon us, whether we know it or not. Many of these expectations are stealing our faith and joy. I pray that we'd be more aware of these worldly expectations and that we would turn away from them and turn to you, knowing that you are the one who's going to produce the abundant life that you have promised. Father, remind us to renew our minds by getting into your word and learning to follow you more closely. We are so thankful for what you have done for us, and therefore help us to fully turn our hearts over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.